Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2 p.m., and we're gathered in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for a general discussion. President Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner Young, Commissioner Hare had a previous meeting, so he will not be in attendance. Item number one is construction permitting process and development. I think all three of you should come up to the deal here, and we'll get started. And your name, sir, is Mr. Dent?
Craig Dent.
Craig Dent.
I'm Julie Schmazer. I'm the director of the department.
I'm Mark Stevenson, building official.
Okay. So, what's this about?
Well, if I might.
Sure.
We can keep it. First, I'd like to thank you for taking this opportunity.
Yeah, one more.
I have. Oh. Here,
sorry. There you go.
There you go. But let me speak. My track record with planning goes back 20 years to the days of Bruce Bartow, Michael Snyder, Laura Glover, Kellen Beck, all in the office. And at that point, I was the guy who did the conditional use permitting for the Pacifica project out in Williams, but left the project 9 years ago because I couldn't get the board, particularly three founders, to pay attention to the terms of grant contracts. And I only mention that because I believe myself to be a process guy. I understand paying attention to the rules and living with the rules. Okay. Up until about 24, well, I'm in my ninth year of working for Valerian Homes here in town. And at one point during the downturn, we built more homes in this county than anybody else. Okay. And about 2 years ago, it came to light that the application process to get a development permit to go through what had originally been called a site plan review and then to pick up your development permit had been segmented. It had been segmented that in such a manner as to lengthen the process to be able to secure a development permit. And so maybe I didn't go through all 370 some odd pages of the Rural Land Development Code, but I believe my tab one in the book, in your exhibits, says that when multiple applications are processed together, the highest level of review procedure shall be used and consolidate the applications. However, B paragraph does give the planning director the ability to separate the process whenever she sees fit or they see fit. 2 years ago, exhibit two, the end of November, I wrote a letter to the planning director and got no response. Subsequent, within a day of that, I wrote a letter to you folks, or a memo, and I actually...
Which was before either of us actually were in office.
That's correct. That's correct, but Commissioner Hare was in office. And I brought in stacks of what it takes to get a building permit in this county for every commissioner to look at. Full sets of building plans, full sets of erosion control plans, all of that stuff, and I never got a response from the Board of Commissioners. I did because I often eat lunch with retired Commissioner Heck, and still in office that following December of 16, said, Keith, you know, are we going to get a response to this? Because we're lengthening the process. And he said, no, we're not going to do anything. It's on the next board. Okay.
So here we are.
Yeah.
So here we are.
So looking at the time frame, I see that. It was the end of November, and a month later, they're all out of office.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. So I want to start, you know, I want to be quick, and I will do this. Let's see if I got... enough, just so you know what I'd like to talk about and I can stay on track.
Okay. I'll give you copies when you're done.
Now, we're dealing with a platted subdivision that's already been through the rigors of planning, been through the rigors of public works, been through the rigors of the county surveyor. So this is not a raw piece of land that the planning department hasn't seen before. It's gone through all of that. Okay? Now, it happens to be in a place where you have to have a erosion control plan and a fire safety plan done. And that's fine. Okay, that's required, not a problem. But I want the board to understand that from the time we complete a construction contract with a potential client, and I look at them across the table, I got to tell them it's 16 to 18 weeks before I can secure a permit. Now, part of that is driven, 6 to 8 weeks of that is driven by the private sector having to get a surveyor to go out and do a topo, then having that surveyor give all of that data to the engineer who then produces the plan. And these guys aren't just sitting around waiting for Valerian Homes or another contractor to call them up to say, do this. So we've got this now. Once we get that in, it's always been my understanding that when we used to do a site plan, and still with a tech plan submittal, the county office has 30 days to respond to that plan. And you may get a letter that says, hey, we can't get to it right yet, we're backed up, but here's our response, we're working on it. Okay? So it used to be that once we had gone through that process, you got a call, you got a letter that said, okay, the planning director has approved your erosion control plan, you can come in and get a development permit. Only now, you go in and you apply for development permit and you're told it's another 3 to 5 days, and that's about what it is. But it's also my understanding that it can take another 30 days because it's another permit application. So just kind of right here in front, I've put the two application forms side by side for you to look at. And if you'll notice on the left, the highlighted items, save for one, versus the pink highlighted items, there's only one item difference, which is proof of water. So in my November 16 information to both the planning director and to the board was, come on guys, we've got a planner sitting there looking at the same set of documents that's going to be asked for again. And then we're going to take another 3 to 5 days and an additional trip to county planning to get to exactly the same place. If this was a raw piece of land that had never been looked at, we kind of understand why a development permit, no, not kind of, we do understand why a development permit would be delayed. You just couldn't walk into the office and get it. But when it's already been through the scrutiny of a planner, already, and you got to resubmit the same documents and come back 3 to 5 days later, it's just exasperating. I can't say it any clearer than that. So, on top of that, about 6 weeks ago, it came to light. We hadn't done a project with unattached buildings in 4 years in this particular subdivision. They'd all been houses with attached garages for the last, I think, 4.5 years. And I walked into the planning office with what used to be allowed, which was a development permit amendment. And we'd gone back to the engineer and had him replot the additional structures on the site plan, and went in to try to submit it, and the planner at the desk didn't know what to do with it, went in the back, talked to someone, came back and said, you've got to go through a full tech plan review. What? This is exactly the same piece of ground. The building process is still in process. We haven't completed anything. We're adding two structures. And part of the requirement, which we'll get to, is that in this particular instance, one of the structures was a greenhouse, a small greenhouse that either the guy is going to build, the client, we're going to pour the pad, the client's going to build it, or buy a prefab one from Costco, and it's less than 200 square feet. And it's been my understanding by code that because it's under 200 square feet and not going to be inhabited, the building department has no interest in it. The assessor's office does for tax purposes, but so I kind of understand. But there is a difficult exchange between me and the planner, which we'll get to, and I gathered up everything back to the office and redid everything for a planning application form instead of the development permit. Went back the next day, same planner, submitted the stuff, went away. And about 48 hours later, I'm in conversation with one of our engineers, and I said to him, it's Justin Gerlitz, and I said, Justin, I said, you know, in the city, when we have a modification like this, to a plan in steep slope stuff, you do a letter of exemption or exception, however you want to characterize it, that says the change to the footprint isn't significant enough to redo anything. And he says, well, I think that works for the county. Oh, you want to write me up one of those letters, please? And he did, and I went into the planning office, showed it to the planner. He said, yeah, this should work, Greg, but I already sent out notifications on the other deal. Well, let me know what we can do here.
Notifications to who?
Well, when a tech plan review, they're required to send out notifications to Public Works, to the fire marshal, to Water Resources, I believe. There are four or five folks on the list.
This is on your 200-square-foot greenhouse.
Well, there was a shop involved, too, but greenhouse. And at the same time, it came to light that now we were going to have to buy a development permit for each structure on the same plan. And I looked at him and I said, you mean if I came in with a house, an unattached garage, a shop, and an RV garage, I was going to have to buy a development permit for each one of those buildings on the same plan? And he said, yes. And I said, where did that come from? And he said, well, it's the planning director's interpretation of the code. So your tab 3 is what part of the code that I could find. And it doesn't say yes and it doesn't say no to me. But I would note that Michael Snyder, for his years with the planning department, was also an attorney. And he advised the various boards that he worked for about legal questions. And his interpretation was never this. Now, I always understood when we went to a new piece of development, when I worked on the Pacifica project and there was so much stuff out there that we did something new, like put in a parking lot, I had to come in with a development permit for that part of the tech plan or site plan evaluation that had already been done, but I didn't have to do a new site plan evaluation. So it's confusing to me at best. And it's concerning because it seems like what it is trying to generate revenue. So your tab 4, just so you know what it takes, your tab 4 is an original erosion control fire safety plan for the original house on this particular project. Okay? And then your tab 5 is a whole planning application required that I brought in that then was told I didn't have to, but the planner that was helping me didn't tell me that, which gives me concern that they're not well trained. If the planner at the desk can't say, geez, Greg, you didn't need to go through all of this, okay? So, and your tab 5 is actually all of the documents required for a tech plan review, except on the first page of tab 5, that planning application form, I checked other proof of domestic water availability to make a point and did include the well log.
So therefore, it's still got the same stuff from the development permit because
yep.
That's the only thing different.
That's the only thing that's different, okay?
And 5 has your erosion.
Yep, that's the
amended one with the two,
yep.
The shop added and,
yep.
the
greenhouse.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay. Now, the tab 6 is the actual letter that the engineering firm wrote. So at the same time I submitted this, I asked the planner, I said, well, okay, with regard to in the code or someplace with your directions about how to fill this stuff out and the stuff that you have to provide, the information that you have to provide, where does it tell me that I can submit one of these letters in lieu of all of this other stuff? I was told, you just kind of got to know. And that's a quote. I just kind of got to know. So that leads into a concern over online permitting, which I hear is coming. And if I just kind of wasn't talking to a planner, how would I kind of know? And that would have stopped, based on my first two interactions, we'd have waited 5 weeks for another development permit. And the last is difficult for me, but my interaction with the first planner, I said to him, and it was a direct question, I said, so you're telling me, because at that point we didn't have any dimensions for the greenhouse. I didn't think at 200 square feet or less we were going to have to provide some kind of plan for the planning department to look at, which I'm still curious about how that works. But I said, so you're telling me I could go back to the client and give him his option. We either wait to submit this and you figure out what kind of greenhouse you're going to do or build, or I call up the engineer and tell him to take off the greenhouse right now. And 6 months after the house is completed and Valerian Homes is out of the deal, he pours his own pad, builds his own greenhouse, and nobody's the wiser. And he backed up, raised his voice to me, and said, I will not enter into a theoretical discussion with you about something that may or may not happen. You don't understand. My professional career, commissioners, I was hired by the state director and regional forester of Region 6, state director of BLM, to create a 501c3 nonprofit while I was a federal employee and make sure that they weren't sending Christmas cards home from Leavenworth. And in that endeavor, my personnel jacket sat on the desk of Interior's lead ethics officer along with a solicitor in D.C., and I had biweekly phone calls for almost 3 months. And I understood everything, and everything they objected to had already been done. So I can read, I can understand, and I will not be talked to as an adult third grade school child. I gathered up the material, looked at the planner, and said, I very well understand what this is. It's about generating revenue. Now, whether that's right or wrong, that was my opinion at that point. So I'm back to, I don't understand the segmentation. We as a builder don't understand that. I need to say this. While the turnaround times have been less, and I will say that about planning, that we get our letters in 2 to 3 weeks, and it doesn't take the 30 days, but I believe, and so do the owners of Valerian, that I'm obligated to tell a potential client how long it could take before we get permits. And in the last year, because of that, we've lost 2 clients to Roseburg. Now, that's only 2 clients, but we've lost them to Douglas County that wanted to build here but weren't willing to wait over a year for a house to get built.
So I can add some to this. First of all, I'll just start with the beginning. I've never spoken with Mr. Dent. He sent me a letter back in 2016, and I did reply to that. As a matter of fact, do you have a copy of that here, Mark?
A letter?
Yeah, I responded to him.
Forgive my staples.
Okay. He indicated there was no response, but there was a response right away. And basically, the complaint at that time was that we, the planning department, were now requiring plans to be submitted with applications. I have the original letters that were submitted. I have my response. And it was, my understanding at that time was he didn't think he should have to submit plans or site plans. We are a planning department. We, our code requires plans. We need to review plans. We've been criticizing for making a lot of mistakes because we would just, somebody would come in with an application, we'd stand at the counter and go, okay, we'd sign in and off they'd go and there'd be all these problems. So we decided that, I decided, no, we're going to do what planners are supposed to do and we're going to review plans. We're going to look at the plan to make sure if they say it's a single family home, it's a single family home and not a duplex. We're going to make sure that it's really not an office or a commercial building or some other thing wrong with it. We're going to make sure it actually meets the site plan and setbacks, etc. So we started requiring plans. And I wrote that letter to Mr. Dent. It's actually dated December 1st, 2016. If you'd like a copy, well...
I would, because that never made it to my desk.
Okay, it did not get returned to us, because we keep track of all of our return mails.
But it didn't make it to my desk, or I wouldn't be asserting that I didn't get it.
So as far as time to process, yeah, that has definitely increased over time. Mark actually brought with data comparing, as commissioners, we've shared data on how we compare to Jackson County. We also brought data showing how we compare to the city of Grants Pass. With all of Mr. Valerian's homes that I know Mark's office processed, I think the maximum time was 6 days on the permit, and he has the information on the planning side, too.
Over the last 2 years, we did 5 homes. We had...
For Mr. Dent or for Valerian?
For Valerian Homes here in the county. Our average turnaround for plan review was 6 days, 6.8 to be exact. And the development permit was issued same day on 3 occasions and then 4 days, I think, on the other 2. The 8 projects done within the city of Grants Pass, it was 19 days turnaround for those permits.
In the city.
So I just wanted, with no disrespect to you, Craig, I wanted to make sure our department was still being as efficient as we could possibly be on a turnaround for plan review. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went to the city. I wanted to see what their time frame was. I don't think 19 days is too long as far as a plan review, as far as our codes go. I think 6 days is exceptional for my staff to be able to turn these plans around and get permits out that quickly.
Now, what challenges it is sometimes you get in a situation where you have to have, if it's steep slopes or granitic soils, where you have to have that stormwater management plan or that letter from the engineer, that may delay it. Or by state law, oftentimes you have to have a tech plan or fire safety plan. Again, not county code, state law. So that can often delay it. As far as the actual permit processing times, though, spot on, we're the best in the area.
So I hear that, and I know we've had some improvements there, but to have an application process where the exact same stuff is turned around and resubmitted, that's just been approved.
Okay.
So that seems to be tedious.
You may think so, but let me explain. So this is, if you're applying for a house, this is all you're going to fill out. Okay? But now if there's other things involved, the steep slopes, the fire safety, etc., you're going to do this as well. So then you're required to do the 2.
But if you've had to do the planning, how does that not suffice for the other?
One, a lot of times things change. As Mr. Dent mentioned, sometimes you come in with amendments. So you may do it here. It may not have been on here, but it's showing on here. We want to compare because what we see, and it happens from the time it leaves the planning side and goes to the building safety side as well, plans change all the time. We often see where somebody will come in and get something from planning, they go to building safety, it's a completely different structure, building safety comes back and says, whoa, wait a minute, is this what you guys authorized? No, that's not what they submitted to us. So when you submit an application, we require the new plans to verify that everything is exactly the same, or it can be approved. If it's different, that's okay, but we want to check that. We want to make sure it can still be approved. Our code also requires us to do that. It requires us to look at plans. So it's not like you're just reduplicating everything. There's a process here. We're making sure that what was approved here is what is being approved here, because oftentimes they're not the same. You're getting different applications or different plans many times. The other thing is you could do this, and you could come back 2 years later for this. Are we to assume that somebody who did something 2 years ago, nothing has changed? No, usually the wife thinks she wants a kitchenette, a kitchen enlarged or something, you know, stuff changes. So we do our due diligence, and we make sure that what is being submitted with every application meets code. We check for changes. Mark does it when they get to his department, too. He doesn't just take our plans.
Which sides of your departments do which part of that?
This is planning. So this is if it's just a house. No, I'm sorry. This is just if it's just a house, just a greenhouse, something to that effect. This is if there's extra stuff involved that the state or stormwater requires.
So in a situation where you have a developer who's got a plat, approved, that's gone through the review process. They have a whole subdivision that's been planned for. They're now going to develop those lots. There's a process in working. Is there not a process of working with, it's not like an individual person who's never come in and built a home, who has never been through the process or anything else like that, and is starting from scratch. The land, like you said, the land's not been touched already. So it's already gone through reviews. It's already through a process of development. Now we're going to build those houses. To me, yes, they need the application process because it's they got this other stuff done. And at the end of the last thing signing off, the development permit can't be issued on the spot. Then you've gone through it. Or, I mean, if there's only one thing different between the first and the second, why not have the same thing so that if it goes through that application process and it is approved, you can issue the development permit? Why cause the same stuff? If it's a continuous process and it's not changing, why cause a second application? And why cause, even if it comes back with an amendment with two buildings, why would you need two applications for the same process?
They're not the same process. This is just authorizing the actual structural
development. No, I'm talking about he brought back two additional buildings and was required to do two development permits.
So you're asking why we require separate permits for them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the same plan on an amended original,
okay.
It shouldn't have a development permit.
Okay,
the development permit should cover the property and all the development that's going on at one time on the property.
We disagree. So if somebody comes in and they want to build...
Why do you disagree? Is it in the code that way?
I will share that with you.
Okay.
If somebody comes in and they want to build five homes on a lot, do you think that our staff can do that for the fee of $300? And what happens if I want to revoke the...
This isn't five homes on a lot. This is one home with buildings that assist that
house. I'm
saying
as an example. Let's say you have five structures on a
lot. But you're giving an example
that is
not.
Okay, you have two structures on a lot.
Let her finish.
Okay.
Somebody wants to apply for two structures on a lot. And that takes staff quite a bit of time, right?
Okay.
So what you're saying is you should be able to apply for whatever you want under one fee. And staff, I don't care how long it takes you and how much it costs our taxpayers, we're going to do it under one fee. He just has to pay $300, and staff, I don't care if it takes you 2 weeks. Taxpayers are going to cover that. He only has to pay $300. Is that fair to the taxpayers? No, it's not. And the other thing is...
You can have a tiered rate.
Our code also talks about... We do have a tiered rate. We have small structure and then larger development. Our code also talks about permit revocation. One thing we have found... Maybe Mr. Valerian, well, he hasn't encountered it because he said he's never built detached structures before in Arconi. But one thing we have, well, I'm sorry, that's what I thought you said.
So 4.5 years we haven't.
And this development, they hadn't done them. Not that he hasn't done them.
So what we often have, and I'll give you a really good example with the marijuana grows, is people would come in and they'd get a permit for, I don't know, 10 greenhouses on a permit. And then we would find errors. Shadowbox is a good example. We found errors. They were over the lot line. I now have to revoke that permit. I now had to revoke a permit on, 10 greenhouses? Our code talks about the fact that you can process them individually. And we do. And we do it for the benefit of the landowner. Because if there's a problem with that greenhouse, if it's too close to the line or something to that effect, I now have to revoke the permit on the house. Is that fair to a landowner? I don't think so. It's not. And our code, we actually have a detailed policy on it. I've got to find my stuff here. There are other sections in the code. When it talks about the multiple applications he's talking about, if there's multiple applications, you can process them together. Yes, if you're going through and you want to do a conditional use permit and a site plan review and all these other things, we're going to process them at the same time because it's not fair for me to go through one, then have you come back. We're going through that right now with somebody. They're doing an amphitheater and they're doing a quarry. They want them both at the same time. They want to move forward with both projects. We're processing those at the same time. So you take, what this says here is, if you have a development permit, a conditional use permit, and an appeal, they're all separate fees, they're all separate applications, of course, but you're going to process them all together. You're going to deal with all of them at the same time, so you know what's going on, how one's affecting the other, things of that nature. That's what the first section that he quoted in the code is. I'll keep going. It talks about all applications have to be informed by the department. It talks about singular applications and processing. Consolidated applications shall be accompanied by the full review. I'm just going through this. I'm reading it real quick. I got to find it here. Oh, it talks about it needs a development permit. A building or a structure requires a development permit. There's nowhere in our code where it says all the structures you want can be on one development permit, and you just spend all the time you want for that one fee. I mean, it's really not fair to the taxpayers to process
all the law.
I think that it's extremes explaining extremes.
It's also this is also how it goes with Mark's code, which is by state law, he does one structure at a time. So what happens is they get the permit from us, and then they go to Mark. Mark does the one structure at a time. Mark can't, by law, take something with five structures on it and process it on one application. So what happens is you have a process. There's this permit, then it goes to Mark. Versus, here, Mark, here's this permit. Now you have to go and get two. It's an ease of convenience to the landowner or to the applicant, and it's fair to the taxpayer. And we are required by statute to cover our time with fees. So, and I don't think that
I didn't say anything about the fee side of it not having to cover the work. What I do think is odd is to make somebody get five copies of the same project and have to submit five applications for a duplication.
He needs two.
But it's one of those things that if you have one property getting developed, and say it's not an amended one, it's all at one time, and each of those buildings require a different application, it is a lot of busy work to require multiple copies of the same thing for one application to develop a property at a time. Now, in this case, it was amended, and they brought back two additional structures and one amendment, one of which is a greenhouse, which greenhouses aren't all permanent structures, so all shouldn't necessarily be required to be. If they could be temporary structures, they're not required to have permits necessarily. But it is one of those things that if there is a way to word it differently, but to say you have to have a separate application and you have to have separate photocopies of the same thing, it's busy work, and it is extra cost.
You know,
if there's a way to fee it and say, okay, based on how many buildings, this is what the fee is, or based on how big or small it is, this is what the fee is according to the work. The fee can correspond with a letter of work to be done, but the duplicative paperwork for duplication process, when it's all the same information, nothing's changed from form to form to form, that seems a lot.
Well, so what we require on the planning side, the documents have to be 8.5 by 11 or by 11 by 17. Mr. Dent is actually the first one I've encountered who has had an objection to making five extra copies. Was that how many pages this was? Most people
he's
don't
not the
mind.
First one I've heard complain about it, though.
Well, to us.
Okay.
I mean, again, we always say if people complain, let us know so we know what they're complaining about. Most builders do not object to submitting another floor plan or another elevation view or another site plan.
They can't, because you control them getting the permit. You know how many contractors who have told me, I can't complain to the people that are the gatekeeper to me to get my project done.
Why can't they?
Because they feel that there's going to be retaliation or efforts to make the process go slower. If I complain with your process being redundant and overburdening, then I'm not going to get it done. So contractors feel they have to smile, grin, and bear it, whether with the city or the county, to get their process through, because otherwise it's going to take longer. It's not going to be as quick. So
we have documentation that when people complain, it is we do everything we can to turn it around to make them happy.
I hear you, but I've had complaints I forwarded on, and the response I got is I don't believe it. I that's not consistent with other feedback I've got.
Are you talking about the Greg property, the one that you gave me?
That's one of one. I had two other people complain about complaints that have been issued. It's just one of those things that the reality is if you guys are the ones issuing and processing permits, and they want that to go smoothly and without any issues, they don't want to bring up trouble. And Mr. Dent, I've never had business with Mr. Dent. You know, it's not one of those things. Valerian's been here for a while. But when he's telling me something that's consistent with what I've heard in other circumstances, I have no reason to say there's not more people concerned that are just not willing to stir the pot because they don't want anything to interrupt their process of getting permits done.
So the real point on this, Mr. Dent, is because you don't feel you should have to send duplicate copies? Is that what this is about?
The answer is, it isn't so much duplicate copies. That's more busy work and it's more office time. But when I look at these two things together and say, there's a competent planner sitting in front of all of this information that they can't check off this, 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 and this. And part of my original letter to you in November was all of a sudden, if you go to tab 7, the back page of the planning form, you'll turn to page 2, actually says to me, you want construction drawings. And that said to me that now planning was going to enter into the design and development work, which had been part of the building department. So I realized we have height codes, I realized we have all kinds of building codes, and I've never had a beef with the building department. Okay. Mm-hmm. The plans have been turned around. If I bring them in on a Monday, Tuesday morning, usually by the end of the second week, before the end of the second week, I get a call that says, this is the permit cost. Here you go. So I figure that's 2 weeks. And building always, even though we didn't have a DEQ permit, which is not, it's part of the discussion, but not the responsibility here, DEQ will not start its process until they have a development permit from the county. And that's another 3 weeks to a month. That figures into all of this. And the building department has always been good enough to accept building plans with a development permit issued by the planning department with a hold on it until DEQ was certified. So that saved us another 3 to 4 weeks. Okay. So when I saw this, the beef was, my concern is, okay, now they're going to start looking at this and saying, geez, okay, we don't like this, we don't like this, you need to go back and redesign the house. And I didn't think... Excuse me. I didn't think that that was part of the planning department's responsibility. I felt that that was the building department's responsibility. And I just want to interject that what we're talking about here are rural residential. In this particular subdivision, we're talking about RR5. So we're talking about only being able to build one house on the property. One. And if we come in with detached information, in all honesty, what happened here was that the surveyor missed setting forth the greenhouse in the shop on the first plan. They were marked, he missed it. And I didn't want to stop 2 or 3 more weeks of process, so we said, well, we'll submit that. When we get that figured out, we'll submit that. Okay, that's okay. Here's the new stuff. But to be told originally that the whole thing had to go back through another tech plan review, which was at least, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have 30 days to respond to that. You may respond in less time than that, but you have 30 days before you actually have to issue a letter.
Yeah, so the tech plan review is something different, which I'll talk about. But real quick, on the front cover, that's why it just says floor plan elevation view. We don't ask for the building drawings.
But you ask for this.
Well, what we do is some people don't understand what a floor plan is or an elevation view. So we should give them an example. Show us your floor plan. Give us an elevation view. Because the planning side has to make sure it's not more than 35 feet in height. That's not marked. That's something planning does. They have to make sure it meets all the codes in the RLDC. We can't do that if they just give us this. We need actual something to show us that. Yeah, it doesn't request the full building, just so you know in the future, it doesn't request the full building drawings. It just says floor plan / elevation.
Right. But my original concern was this, was what you were asking for looks like CDs to me.
We could take this off, but we put it on as to be helpful to people because they didn't know what
that
is. If I
may, I'm 25 years builder here in the Valley. I've been to every jurisdiction. There's not one jurisdiction that doesn't require plans to come into planning and actually review the plans.
I don't have a problem with the plans being reviewed.
I'm just saying.
The issue is, the reason we were told for having two processes is things change. Okay, but if it's not where you have commercial contractors or, you know, professional contractors who are putting in a subdivision where they're like, okay, here's our plans. We went through the plan. All right, straight away, we're at the end of it. Nothing's changing. We want the permit right now. To turn around and then submit it and get you all new copies when you just went through the process in the pre-application, you've gone through what's going to be changing there, and it's a continuum that doesn't stop. So it's not like there's a pause. There's not a different thing. Through that planning process, you get to the end. Okay, give an option for that to get a development permit issued off of whatever's just been approved versus having them now have to recreate everything and resubmit it.
It's not that they follow up immediately all the time, though, Commissioner. And like Mr. Dent said, in this case, the plans did change. There was something that was forgotten on that original one that showed up when they came in later. So,
but
I think what Mr. Dent's asking for is for credit for everything that's been done so that we don't have to start all over and reinvent the wheel from the beginning. If he says nothing changed in the house, but we added the shop, we added an apron for the shop because your driveway greatly and your impervious areas and everything changed, and you added the greenhouse. Well, the greenhouse is 96 square feet. It's 8 by 12. 96 square feet. We're not interested in that. We don't need to worry about that, but the shop we do need to take a look at. But have credit for the house is already done. The topography runoff plan is already done. So then the only concentration should be on an application for the shop, and there would be an additional charge for the shop because it's a sizable structure. It's not, you don't need one for the greenhouse, but you do need one for the shop. List the greenhouse on it. You have credit towards, not necessarily credit financially, but we're not going to go back and say, okay, something may have changed. We're going to start all over with Justin Gerlitz and add more engineering and just put that shop in there.
And I guess from what I was hearing was two separate things, that the initial one that forgot the shop was still required to do the two things. And then when they came back with the amendment with the shop and the greenhouse, was told you start from scratch. And so I guess for me...
What is scratch, though?
All the engineering and all the other stuff, again, that is starting from scratch almost. It's one of those things. What I'm saying is first issue separate from additional buildings, just original plans offered, that they go through this process, maybe even add the water thing here, so it's all accounted for, because if they get through this process, there's nothing changed that they could immediately say, we want the development permit off of this, and we'll pay you the fee for that, now finish the process through building, and we have one process that's done that's smooth and it's done. Versus now he's like, well, we forgot this other part. We got to come back. Yes, there's going to be another thing. But they don't need two copies of the same thing for the two buildings that are coming in at once.
What if it changes?
What changes?
What if the plans change?
They were already approved with what was done. The only thing that's changing is two buildings that are coming in, and they're asking for a permit for it.
Commissioner, he's saying he doesn't want to have separate permits for them. He wants them all on one permit.
No, let me.
Was part of that.
Can I? So, 4.5 years ago, the last one we did, believe we did what was called a development permit amendment. Okay? And we were in granitic soils, so I went back and had the engineer redraw the footprint and the erosion control plan, and we came in. And I fully expected when I came in with this, with a development permit application, I submitted plans for the rudimentary plans for the shop. I in the package, along with the new footprint, the erosion control plan, and all the rest of the stuff on the development permit side. So that this is all here again. I didn't object to that. Here you go. You know, here's all we're doing is adding these two buildings, and I expected to pay for a development permit for the shop and the greenhouse, knew that when the shop, it's a different contractor building the shop, but knew that he'd have to pull a building permit. And that wasn't us, and that was all okay. But to be told, no, we're going to go back to square one for what can take up to 30 days, and then you still got to come back and do another development permit application.
Not to be told
on the first go-around that the engineer could first submit a letter that said this has no significant impact and that we didn't have to go through any of it. That the planner at the counter, when he went back, this one's already under production. This is an amended plan. In the development permit application that I originally produced, I even put the original permit number on it for the original development permit. So let's go back and look at that.
and it doesn't get looked at. It's just, nope, this is the deal. So if I hadn't had an accidental conversation with Justin Gerlitz, we'd be getting the development permit for the shop about right now.
So one thing on the stormwater management thing, mm-hmm. plans, so the code is pretty strict on those, mm-hmm. that you need that full stormwater management plan.
Yeah.
And for the since I've been here, we have had a policy that we will accept that letter. And we actually, Wednesday actually, brought it to the commissioners and said, look, this is a policy we wanted actually in the code. So they actually put it in the code. So everybody hopefully knows now, you know, usually if somebody asks us, you know, is there anything we can do, we tell them there's a waiver process out there. We can do this. You were not told that. I understand that you had some questions about the planner. Yes, the planner is new, no excuse, but apparently hasn't dealt with that before. But we do have a process, and it's been in place since I've been here. But now it will actually be code. So you just know that going forward. And, yeah, if, you know, we could have told, well.
I'm in the same place is that when I bring in an amended erosion control plan, here's the new deal, and here it is. And let's here it is under a development permit, and here's what we're building, and everything that you ask for on a development permit application was there, and I provide, a builder provides the former permit number, and we're building an RR5, and it's clear that we're not asking to add a residence, we're not asking to add an accessory structure in terms of another living quarters. Here's all we're asking for. And to be told, no, you need to go back to here. Wait a minute. You know?
I think what you're saying but not saying is that because they made you say, okay, we've got to start all over again, is they are accusing you of making changes to the original. We have to make sure that nothing changed in the original house. You want to have this shop over here in the greenhouse, but we want the whole thing again. So we make sure you didn't make any changes in the house?
No,
just
I don't. Okay. I'm not making that accusation at all.
Okay.
It's to
well,
me.
I think Ms. Melcher said we like to see the whole thing to make sure that you didn't make any other changes in the original from the original permit.
So I have a question. Were you finished with the house already
no,
when you brought up the amendment?
No.
So it's still in process.
Right. We're not set to finish the house for another.
So
five
it's
or
not
six
signed
weeks.
Off.
No.
From the department in the first place.
No.
So as far as them actively seeing if something's changed from the plans that are developed and they bring in an amendment, it shouldn't have to start from the scratch.
No,
it should maybe say, okay, let's have an amendment extra fee for this building. But it's still in process with the department, and building and safety hasn't signed it off. They know what plans have been submitted. It should refer back and say, here's an extra building that you're going to add to it, not start from scratch.
Did you make the first question there? Are you making any other changes to any previous application? No. And then you just move on. Then you just take it from there, and then it's an additional building. That's, you know, and Julie and I talked about this from the get-go since for the last 20 months that I've been here now, that we do need to shorten this process down. And these applications, the one that I don't care for is, oh, by the way, now you got to go do this. And then you come back, oh, by the way, now you got to go do this. She's cut that way down. And we've had this discussion. I'm seeing, from what we used to have to now, I'm seeing improvement. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, we need our contractors to bring things to light if something is not being done yet, that so that we can change it. If you say, you know, just like, well, it's going to be a month, and then their documentation says, no, it's 6 to 8 days, it can be a month, so don't say it's going to be a month. They're working to say 6 to 8 days, and that's what there says there, that we've been 6 to 8 days or 19 days total. That's well within the month. That's not a month and then another 3 months for DEQ. It sounds to me like they made some kind of adjustment over there so that DEQ can get started on it while it's still in the process here. So DEQ says, you know, you're given a letter of I don't know what you call it, the bank, they call it a commitment letter or whatever it is, letter of intent, that you're going to go through with it. We're going to get, you know, we'll get to the bottom of our end, but DEQ, you need to get started on this thing so that our 19 days overlap, and now instead of it being a month and 3 months, now it's down to a month and 3 days.
Now, Craig, I'm not sure.
I see some growth, but I also, you know, that this is what this is for, it's so that we can make changes and better serve the contractor.
Mark, if I can, mm-hmm. It's not all here. As I started out saying, that we've got 6 to 8 weeks in the private sector to produce the piece of information that's critical. One of the pieces, which is the erosion control and fire safety.
Right, and that's up to an engineer.
Right, and we can't, you know, as I said, those private sector guys are not sitting around waiting for any particular contractor to go to work. So that's just the time frame. So when I'm talking to a client, I really do have to tell them, it's probably going to take between 16 and 18 weeks to get permits total. I don't hang it on building. I don't hang it on DEQ. I don't hang it on planning. It's just here. This is the process. And sometimes maybe we'll get them in 12 to 14 weeks. You know, if the engineers aren't busy, if the surveyor and the civil engineer is not busy, we can't do anything about that. But when I see segmented processes take over, and the time is lengthened, and the trips to the county planning office are increased, and now I hear about online permitting, which has advantages. But I worked with a gal back in the 90s who did a master's degree on how the personnel and contracting practices of the federal government were insulating it from each other. She was ostracized. She was in the public affairs shop at the Colorado State Office, and she got run out of there. Because she said this is what it does, and that's what online work does. We can't have that interaction. Okay. That's a concern that we can't do anything about at this point.
One policy that I put in place because of basically statutes that they have a certain amount of time or they have to put in the time is that you can submit your plan without a development permit, knowing that we'll do the plan review. You're going to pay us for that plan review. And if they say, if land use says, no, you can't do this, you know, you're out that. But it's just a means of, now we're not having a problem with turnaround at this time. But sometimes you get so busy, it's good to get your plans in line so you're not waiting. And then those plans are ready the minute you have that development permit. So that is one policy we put to try to expedite and assist all our stakeholders in getting their homes off the ground and such. And to your point, if any of my staff penalizes someone because they don't like their attitude or whatever, they're out. I'm not going to put up with that at all. I tell people all the time, this is not a personal thing. We're here to help you through the process. We have state codes mandated. You've got to follow that code. Our job is to help you negotiate through that code, get your permits, get your project off the ground. And the number one thing for my inspectors is you don't hold up a project for nothing. If it's something you can come back and look at after, if it's something you can take photos, we do FaceTime now. We do everything we can to expedite. And I realize we have a good relationship with Valerian, and we turn the plans around. But we're a department as a whole, and we're all working together to try to make it just as efficient as we possibly can within our state rules, codes, ordinances. And it sounds like this might be, is this the first bad encounter you've had on the counter?
No, but she's long gone back in the days of the downturn. Okay. And I'm not going to disparage somebody that I can't sit down face-to-face with.
I didn't call or encourage Mr. Dent to make the appointment just to have a gripe session.
Well, sure, absolutely.
And his approach to me was, I think there's a way this can be done better that will help customer service, that will help the outcome and the overall feel, and will help things go more smoothly. And that was the intent, to be mm-hmm. able to have that discussion. Obviously Valerian's not going to be done making homes. They're going to continue to build homes in the county. It's something that, it's going to be an ongoing thing. So, you know, we've had other contractors ask,
Can you have a tract for those of us that build homes all the time that you know this process of working with? Then you have the mom and pop shops that come in and they're kind of doing their stuff. You have different, you know, is there a way that you could do things to streamline to get that process through for those that are doing more homes than anybody else or other things? Not that you're getting special treatment, but just that you're used to, it's like you got the well-greased, well-oiled machine that's getting those through because you're used to working with them. They know what's required. They know what's going on. So as the process changes, okay, there's some growing pains, but if it was work, this wasn't broke, and they're saying it feels broke now, to be open to saying what actually makes sense to do that. To have to make four copies of the same plan, I guess for me, are they going to different people or are they going to the same person? The same person is not going to look at four sets of plans of the same thing. You know, it's kind of one of those things. There's, do we need to have, you know, okay, we have an A, B, C, and D because supplemental, or it's building A or main building A, B, C, D for accessory buildings or something like that. I don't know as far as that you can have those separate applications that they cover it for the permit if you need it to each have its own permit. But do you need five copies of the exact identical same thing?
Well, I think the point is that these two applications here are not necessarily submitted at exactly the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, one might be
2 years
a couple of years before they got their approval. Now they're coming in to get the development. So I think that's where the you need to bring these in again.
But how I see this is a process that they're working with you guys through that process, and their give and take of you can do this, you can't. Let me help you here. I suggest you do this. We got this report, and now we got this process done. I'm ready for my permit. And if it's contiguous and it just goes straight from there, where these have been signed off, now here's your permit application, here's your packet with that same permit. Not new stuff. We just worked out the details, and it's not changing, so here's that process. That there be a path for those that don't change, not assuming that they've all changed. That's all I'm saying, is that there could be a process of, we just worked you through this, it's been through your scrutiny, what's our easy path that... You've blessed this. That's exactly what we're asking for. We're not asking for a change from your blessing. So that's the part that...
So what we do is this: all of these uses right here used to be separate applications. You needed to fill out a separate form, separate submittals on all of those. We put them on one application. So if somebody comes in now, let's say they want to apply for five of these things, they can just make photocopies and bring them to us. They don't have to redo applications or anything. Same form. Because the other, all the forms all were different. So we standardized it. So if you want all
which
of these things. Yeah, so, and it makes it easier on the applicant because they can just take this and their copies and just run the copies at 25 cents a page and bring us the copies.
So the copies, what happens with those copies? So sure. I have all 10 of these, so therefore I have to find 10 copies of the same thing. Does somebody... Do those go to 10 different people, and they each make notes on them separately?
They only need one copy of everything when they apply for this one, and one copy at this time. But what happens is, and this is affects the amendment process, so let's say somebody gets something through here. They do all their plans, I don't know, a year ago or something, even 45 days ago. So we go through that, we approve it. It all gets scanned into a system. So everything is on an 8.5 by 11. Sometimes you can't really read the detail. Like, you wouldn't be able to read the detail of his 11 by 17s on there. But anyway, so that's why you wouldn't want to take that and put it onto your next application either. But the other thing is, those documents all go off to the assessor, building safety. And so, you know, Connie starts her work. Now, if somebody comes in 3 months later to add something, you've just rocked the whole apple cart. Now what we have to do is go in, and we don't have a system. We're not able to just go in and take everything out of, what we'd have to do is print everything off that was scanned in the original system, take it all off, write amended on it, submit all the new documentation, rescan it in, send it over to Connie again, send it over to Mark, but by this time Mark's probably have an application, and Connie's already probably started her paperwork process. It doesn't work. I mean, if you want to, what we tell people, if you want to make an amendment, we will amend it until the time it is scanned, which is about 30 days, usually about 30 days. After it is scanned and sent to the other agencies, I'm sorry, you can no longer amend it. You have to start with the new, not start over, but just your new development permit.
He was told he needed the other side again.
He was told he needed a tech plan review. The planner made an error. one of the other planners actually corrected that for Mr. Valerian and actually gave him a reimbursement for that tech plan review. I have the email.
That's
right
true.
There.
That's
okay.
True.
I mean, for me, I know you guys have taken seriously, you've responded to several of the complaints we've been getting lately, and as far as in the time frames were, and it's, even so some of the stuff is private sector, it's us requiring it, state law requiring it, so those steps have to be done, and I know that you guys are trying to respond. The idea, though, is that we're always being open to what can be improved upon.
Sure.
And if there are areas that can be streamlined for those that repetitively go through the process, that, I don't know, that it, as far as nobody likes the gotcha, nobody likes the no, the rules changed. Okay, are we aware that you have 30 days or until scanning? Is there a drop-dead date that people are aware of? Anything after that's a new permit versus an amendment or a... You know, as far as just not being surprised of what's the changes or having those things explained up front. Okay, you may have some amendments, but you have until this date to do that. Okay, now you're at that date. There's no amendments that can happen or explaining to folks during that process. You know, some folks will say, well, who knows what's going on while you're in the middle of building stuff. Things happen. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's a remodel versus a new construction. There, you open one wall, you find 20 new solutions to come up with. You know, it's always changing. So as long as we're willing to be flexible, and the answer you said is finding the, or we've talked about finding the route to yes, finding the solution, engineering to the solution is what you said, or it's we're not looking for busy work. We're not looking for, well, we can do that, so we are going to require it versus, well, you're right, this actually works for all of that, and I don't need that extra stop. Finding those ways of keeping it simple or keeping it flexible.
Sure. I think, you know, the commissioners often hear when people aren't happy and not when they are happy, but there's other things that go on. For example, if somebody changes their building plan, they get to Mark and they decide to change the layout of something to that effect, we don't send them back to planning because that doesn't affect the land use side of it. The only time they're sent back or having to amend something is when it affects the land use side of it or some state requirement. So in this case, the planner that helped Mr. Mr. Dentz had told him that he needed it, didn't realize that he could have a letter. He got the letter. We refunded the tech plan, the fee, credited him for the greenhouse if he wanted to go ahead with the greenhouse. I mean, in my mind, I think... Yes, the planner that helped him did not know he could have the letter. But I also do think that staff bent over backwards to help make amends with Mr. Dent.
Okay.
And I do think this department has gone up leaps and bounds, as you know, to make things easy, the processes easier. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think it's unreasonable to ask to make somebody to make 2 pages when they submit a new application so we can verify that nothing has changed, 2 pages or 3 pages.
But see, it wasn't from him that I heard that people are, well, and when you get plans like this and now you have to figure out how to get it to here, that could be...
We require them to be 8.5 by 11.
And so every engineer and contractor and designer and architect knows that now? I mean, so they're only issuing them in 8.5 and 11s for this department? Because
for the planning department...
Because blueprints don't come in those sizes.
For the planning department, they pretty much always have. Well, keep in mind... they weren't giving us plans up until about 2 years ago. We rarely got plans. And we require the 8.5 by 11 so they can, as a courtesy, so they can email it to us, PDF it to us, but big thing is so we can scan it into the system. When they get to Mark, that's when Mark needs the detail on the big plan. That's when he's checking inches and quarter inches and wall width and things of that nature. Planners don't care about that.
Okay. So, again, it wasn't originally from Mr. Dent that I had heard that we have to have four of the identical to put in with applications or whatever it was.
It depends on the type of application. Now, the ones that go to the board, for example, you'll have one coming in from a land use consultant, documents about that thick, those type of...
I'm out that day.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Some of those applications require that they submit 4 copies or a certain number of copies. So it depends. But when you're doing a regular development permit, he just needs 8.5 by 11 copy of his site plan, 8.5 by 11 copy of his elevation view with a floor plan, and this page filled out. That's all we're requiring, and a fee. Once they've, like I said, once they've gone through those other processes, that's all they need for that development permit. So it's not like we're
saying. So you're saying that development permit for say they have a detached garage and a shop that they're adding to now, they don't have to have duplicate copies of all the plans if they submit that all as one application.
If you're talking about
if I'm starting from scratch with a bare piece of property. And
no
I want a house.
No problem with granitic soils or floodplain.
No, just a perfect field.
You've got
that's
perfect
that.
Piece of paper.
But it's four buildings on my initial submission. Do I have to have four copies?
You have to have four applications because I need to know what building, what size application. This built, you know, house 20 by 30. And then I need a house plan and I need a site plan showing where that house is going to go. Then when you come in for the garage, yes, I want to know that. And
but I'm coming in all at once for this. I'm giving you four buildings at once because I have my whole property.
Yes, we would require separate ones in case we have to revoke the permit on one of them, so we don't have to revoke your house permit.
And set a plan, you know, when I was in construction and you did a bank, for instance, and there's huge plans. These things are volumes. It was nothing. You know, I knew that I was going to take that set of plans down to the little place on G Street. I don't know if it's still there. I'd say I need page M1 through 12, and I need four copies each one of those. I came back in an hour, and they were all done. Numerous, because I want to give one to the foreman, I need one in the shop so I can make it. He called me from the job. We're working on the same document. You have to roll one up and put it in the tube for the building inspector, because the building inspector is going to say, where's your plan at? Oh, don't you have one? No, it's on the job so that everybody can refer to it. It's job plan. So a number of plans. I don't think you're squawking about, excuse me.
No.
You're not squawking about too many sets of plans and that's an undue burden, because it's not. That means nothing.
No, you're not putting four plans to one department for they're identical with four different applications on them with four copies of the same thing. So this one's this building, that one's that building, that one's this building, when they're all the same thing. It makes sense that you have one with your foreman, one on the job site, one at the office, and one at planning. It doesn't make sense that planning gets four.
Okay, but if planning were to say, okay, we got four sets of plans, and it goes to four different offices to look at four different things.
That's why I asked.
Rather than one set of plans getting done here, then I take it over here, all four of you come back and you all make the same thing and say, hey, it's done. And we did it in 2 days rather than 2 days here, 2 days here, 2 days here, 2 days here.
But and that's not what's happening.
Okay.
It could be the same person that looks at all four and approves all four.
One of the other reasons, why, Commissioner, that we wouldn't, let's say you had a permit for a house and a garage, why we wouldn't issue them on the same permit is because we want to make sure, per our code, rural residential is a really good example, that you actually start on that home, that you actually make progress. Because in the rural residential zone, our primary land use and intent of that zone is a residence. So we want to make sure the accessory building, the barn, the greenhouse, et cetera, doesn't get built before the house. So we always make sure, get your permit on the house,
get
that house
started.
It can
get built before the house is completed. But you have to show, as we said yesterday, because that was a question I asked yesterday, can I build a garage or shop and store my construction materials in it while I'm building my house? And you said yes, as long as you've shown... reasonable start, like a foundation, lock work, you're ready to put your plumbing in, so on and so forth.
And we were revisiting that, and Julie actually wasn't in that meeting. She was out last week, but we were in our staff meeting. We were revisiting the fact that, you know, Valerian Homes comes in and they want to do the house and the garage. They want to save money by pouring both foundations at exactly the same times. Mm-hmm. And framers are going from the house to the garage, roofing. It's all a matter of economics and getting.
But if
that
I had a detached garage, and I probably still would do the foundation and the slab for the garage and the footings and get the foundation in.
Your subcontractors come in the same order, yeah.
And I can build my garage. Shop garage thing, mm-hmm. So I can store my building. Because right now, I think that one of the big things in construction is theft on a job site.
Yeah.
Gosh, mm-hmm. You put something out there, and tomorrow, then the next day, it's gone. Your bunk of plywood, it's gone. It just evaporated. So that's why, you know, we discussed having, you know, motorhomes, and you could live in your motorhome while you're building your home. So that's one thing.
And we do work with them. I'm sorry, just real quick. And we do work with them on that. So, Plain Sight doesn't really care about that slab as long as there's no filling issues or floodplain issues. So oftentimes they'll work with Mark and they'll get the, you know, the slabs approved, and then we'll say, okay, well, we're not going to actually issue the permit on the construction part of the garage until you've got, we want to see, the code talks about substantial development. You have to have the septic in and things of that nature. So once you've got that started, then we do it. But we do work with them.
Let's go back to Mr. Dent, because I know that we, you know, you said that you lost two homes to Douglas County.
Yep.
What was the difference? Could they go to Douglas County and get everything done in 2 weeks up there?
I don't believe so, no.
So what's the delta between how you
We've only built one in Douglas County, and they have a co-located shop now like planning and building does, but you go from one side to the other and back, and it seemed like, and we had to have, they have a different fire planning deal. They use the people that own the property have to agree to maintain it to the fire safety plans. It's something that actually gets recorded up there. It's different. The process is different than here. Seems like we were ready for permits from the time we signed a contract, and this is about 4 or 5 years ago. It's 5 years at least. It seems like we had permits in 6 weeks from start to finish on the whole deal. They didn't have this demand. It's on a steep slope, but they didn't have the same erosion control demands.
They probably have different soils up there than we have down here, because we're in granite.
Right.
But a lot of our soils are granite down here.
I want to just narrow it down. The complaint here is the duplication, again, the segmentation of the development permit from the tech plan review, in that now you got to come in and fill out a development permit, regardless of how many pieces of paper, drop it off with your check, and 3 to 5 days later make another trip back up to pick up your permit. That's beef one, because it was all together. Okay, so that's another week of process and another trip up to the planning office. Okay, the next was the lack of information with regard to, you could do this waiver.
Yeah, and we acknowledge that was a mistake.
I think we're all on that, but that's a good point.
Right,
those are things we're going to work on.
Right, and the last had to do with the attitude of the particular planner that I was dealing with, and there's no complaint with. You know, I walked back in with the letter, Craig, this is how it works. Craig, you want a refund, this is how we'll do it. No problem. There's generally been no beef. I think she, 5 or 6 years ago, she's been gone for 5 or 6 years now. But I got tossed at one point on one of the first houses as we started back on phase one of this particular subdivision. She tossed me the whole site plan review package and said, you got to go through all of this. But wait, no, it's been this. Nope, it's this. And we went round and round about that until we finally got back to exactly what it was. And I'd been through the whole site planning review process with the Pacifica project. I believe that's the largest conditional use permit ever granted on a piece of exclusive farm in this county. And so I understand the process because I did the research, wrote the application, defended it in public hearing, and wrote the finding. So I think I understand. So I was particularly annoyed.
Well, going a long ways back.
Yep.
My dad was a contractor. And he got out of it just about the right time because he was ready to choke somebody because of all the paperwork. And that was a one-day thing. This is what I'm going to build, written on the back of a napkin, and they go, fine, go build it, aren't you? Everything's fine. There was no government intervention whatsoever in the construction process. The house that he built down on Bridge Street, right before Cypress Street, it is still there, and I watched that man when I was this high, which puts it 60-something years ago, and he could take a piece of bare ground and lay it all out, poured the footings himself, and they didn't pour... They didn't have block back then. Poured the foundations himself, plumbed it himself because I used to help him chink the rope down in the cast iron fitting and pour the lead on it. So there was a lot of things going on back then, and you know what? The house is still standing.
Yeah. Well, let's keep in mind, if I may, a little historical fact.
Yeah.
The Oregon builders went to the state legislature and said, everybody's got a different code. We want a model code.
Well, standardized. I get all that.
And that's
but
where...
The history is that the frustration mounts as we go decade to decade. And then, you know, Bud Ballinger, he built some beautiful homes up in the northwest section of town, still standing, with probably a tenth. He didn't need to come in and submit plans and have somebody behind a desk tell him, I think this is going to fall down. He said, I can prove to you it won't. No, you don't get the opportunity to prove to me it won't. So the frustration mounts decade by decade as we add layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of bureaucracy. And I think you made a very good point. You said it more than once at the beginning of this thing. This is all about money. You just want more money because now I got to spend $375 for another one. And I went about it not against the city, but in defense of a contractor over at the city. Theirs was, oh, by the way. Mm-hmm. And that guy would come in, that contractor would go in and in and in and in. He never got the full story. Ms. Melcher and I have had that conversation. I want the full story the first time. You're a planner and you miss one of these steps, it's yours. You forgot it? I'm not going to charge you $375 because I didn't let you know in the first place. I think we've come miles.
Yeah. And we discuss
this quite
often. We don't
have that old, I'm not hearing the old, by the way, I did on a person that we're going to talk to tomorrow. But it was an old, by the way, and then it was come back, I think I've got everything, old, by the way. And I don't dance to that. We went through that. Do you remember that? Boy, we were livid on the city council about that. And they made some serious changes over across the parking lot. I think we've come a long ways here in the fact that, you know, the customer service side of it says, I'm here to serve you, and why are you standing in my way? I have to go to the bathroom. And so that's the key that we're trying to do here. And I know the level, your level of frustration, because as it, and I quit 5 or 6 years ago, I can't do this. I mean, I'd come in, my frustration was I would go get a permit to put a heating and air conditioning unit on top of the River Valley Church over here. He says, where's your engineering?
Right.
I said, where's my engineering for what? Well, we need to know the engineering on that. I says, well, I'm taking a unit off that weighed 1,500 pounds, and I'm putting on a unit that weighs 800 pounds. So we need to know if the roof can handle the load. I said, do you know what you're looking at? Oh, yeah, and I was not convinced of that. And I was convinced after I watched it over and over and over again. And then I go over to the little Taste of China or Taste of Taiwan or whatever it is over here on the corner of 7th and A,
yeah.
And I see what my competitor put in and what he got away with. And I snapped pictures, and I went down and says, what's the difference between this and this? I touched all the bases, and the scoreboard is up there. This guy never even went in the stadium, and he gets the exact same. He made money, and I didn't. Because I did, or he got the job, and I didn't. Because I followed all the rules, and yet there's no enforcement to say, go tear it out and do it right. We've never done that. And I said, it's frustrating. And I'm not going to say I feel your pain, because that's from a different...
We work with staff... But daily on consistency, trying to avoid any miscommunication, also trying to provide all the information.
And the reason I like, and one thing here is we've got two different sides of the same story, and that's what my interest is hearing both sides of the story. That's why we're both in the same room at the same time. You've got your documentation, how long it took you to respond. But we had one the other day. This guy came in, he was just livid. He says, I want to do it, and it was through a company that raises houses with a hydraulic.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm trying to get my kitchen raised up, and my contractor tells me that it'll be 6 to 8 weeks before he can get on the job because of the building department. I called Chris, said, what's going on with this particular client? I said, well, just a second. He got back to me. He had his permit in hand. That company who came and applied for a permit for this gentleman's house had the permit in hand in 40...
No, he came in on a Thursday, and I think it was... Within like two or three business days.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
Monday after Tuesday morning, that contractor had it in hand. So I told him, I said, they told me. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. But what it amounted to is that the contractor couldn't get to the job for 6 to 8 weeks. So therefore, he said something about the building department. And of course, it all landed on these folks. And they had good documentation to say, hey, if your permit's been issued, if the guy can't get to it, that's not our problem. But so I just want to make sure. But what I want to do is I think we need to recap what we have heard from Mr. Dent so we can make those changes. If those are things that you're concerned about, I'm concerned about, Commissioner Morgan's concerned about, we're here to build the department and make it better rather than to make excuses for it. Okay?
Well, I did a lot of organizational development work for years and years, and we go into what were called pinch sessions, gripe sessions, and you couldn't have a gripe if you didn't have a solution.
That's good. That's a very
I've heard that
at this table this morning.
Okay. So when we deal with the city, and we've got steep slope subdivision going on up off of Highland right now, and it's been there for best part of 10 years. It's in lay fallow in the downturn. But I know when we walk in that they've got 30 days to respond to a steep slope deal. If I go in on flat ground, like we had out on G Street, I'm going to see a turnaround in 10 business days. So I think to narrow it, what's been in the back of my mind is some kind of track, as Commissioner Morgan has mentioned, that says, this thing's already been through all of this. And if I'd known about the waiver letter, we wouldn't be here, except I'd be pretty annoyed about $300 for a greenhouse, which is what I got told. Then I got told it's only $100
for
the greenhouse. You know? But I'm still lost with a residence that has an attached garage is $300, and you unattach it and park it over here, same size of garage, but they want a breezeway or something between it. Based on the land use plan, it's another $300. And I'm lost with, did every planning director for the prior 20 years that I've been in Josephine County working violate the code and the law by not charging $300 for that building? And I'm lost.
And the answer is actually yes.
Has that gone to the county attorney? Is that his opinion?
That I do not know. What brought, you know, a little history on this, what brought it to Julie's attention is somebody got a development permit, and I don't remember exactly, but was it 1,000 greenhouses or was it 100 greenhouses?
I think it was 140 or something greenhouses.
140 greenhouses on one development permit on one property, and it was issued to them.
It was $100.
What is this?
And it took us a couple weeks of time.
And so that's where Julie did her, you know, looked into the code and seen where this was going and why were we issuing one development permit for six different structures on
can
the property.
That should have gone into a large development or something, you know, that tiered permit.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, it's one application.
That 140 greenhouses, that's front page news. What I'm trying to get to, there is a happy medium to where, I'll just use your example, house with a garage, $500 or whatever it is. I don't know what the fee is, but it's $500. House with a detached garage, $650. Because it's detached, it's got another foundation, it's going to have wiring in between, there's more inspections, it's probably not going to be built at the same time, so you have some time going out there, so on and so forth. But a tiered approach, you know,
And I still don't agree that a detached garage by a breezeway is a separate
structure. Well, not if
you,
in
that,
a detached
that's different
garage,
than a garage going over there on a different pad. If it's on the same pad.
I don't believe it is.
It is being treated
as a
separate structure.
I don't think a detached garage means if it's covered with a breezeway, I don't think it is detached.
It's not, okay. As far as permitting, if you have, if you're applying for a house with a garage and it's all connected by one roof, that's one permit.
That's a permit.
That's one permit.
It's not a
I'm saying it's being viewed as separate structures.
For floor area requirements and things of that nature, yes. As far as getting a permit, they can put that all on one permit. That's never been an issue.
But to me, it's one structure. It shouldn't be considered two structures. So when you're looking at other buildings on the property,
well, you have to
that's
look
one
at the definition of structure, though.
One roof, one structure.
Okay.
Well,
that's,
yeah, and
we
that's,
have
a
to change
that's a single
yeah.
development permit.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you have a house and a breezeway and a garage and a breezeway and an RV barn and a breezeway, that's all one structure. It's one development permit.
Mm-hmm. It's all covered by the same roof.
If it's detached, literally,
no.
Separate roof, that's two development permits.
For permitting purposes.
I hear you. Now, you have that situation, you want to now put a shop over here, they're like, well, you already have four detached structures.
That's your
damn. That's your concern.
There.
No. No, I think we're getting down.
I think we're starting to split hairs here. We're missing the
What I meant by a breezeway was not a covered, was not part of a roof, was you got my understanding going back to trying to design a whole brand new nursery out at Pacifica and being told that by building folks, and this goes back 15, 18 years, okay, was that because I had an office area that was going to have classrooms and a library in it, that all of the structures for the rest of the nursery had to meet that fire code.
And there's some restrictions in,
well,
in that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But then you find out from our architects that, no, if you separate those buildings by X number of feet and there's no touching roof, there's no anything else, then that fire code stuff doesn't apply to the rest of it. That public, what am I looking for? Public occupancy for use of those particular work tasks were not covered under the same fire code. But it took me 6 months to get that answer. So what I meant, I used the term breezeway, which would indicate same roof, and I shouldn't have, but I'm talking about a fully detached garage 6 feet away.
As you're doing here on this one here.
Well, this is a shop, but if I come in with a 2,400 square foot single family home, which is what's prescribed by the zone, and I want to build a two-car garage over here that's got extra depth for a shop, and they're separated by 8 to 10 feet, and it's got a separate roof line, I'm going to pay $300. The current interpretation, I'm going to pay $300 for that garage in addition to the shop. Is that not correct?
Correct.
In case we have a problem and we have to revoke one of the permits. And because there's also different rules that apply. So you look at one, you're looking at the siding of the house. The other one, you're looking at siding of accessory structures. You're counting the impervious surfaces, and you're counting the floor area.
But can we, that's what I'm saying, instead of it being $300, can it be a buck and a quarter? Can it be? Can we go to a separate, you know, just say?
Well, maybe we should look at what other counties do and ask the builders.
I think I'd definitely like to see how that works at other places.
Revisit the fee schedule.
Does that make sense to you, Mr. Dent?
It does.
Well,
find out to make
and
sure that
there's. I didn't mean to stop.
Go ahead. No.
There's something too when you're putting it in together. Now, 140 greenhouses or 100 something. That's anybody's definition of ridiculous.
Right.
That should not be the standard of what we're talking about. We're talking about a normal rural residential property where you're going to have, in a rural area, it's likely to have, one of my favorites was the wife had a workshop area, the husband had a workshop area. They had an RV garage, they had a normal shop. You know, just different stuff for tinkering for different purposes. But it's normal, you're going to have a house, you're going to have at least a two-car garage, you're going to have maybe an RV garage, you're going to maybe have a shop to work in, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So if they all come in at once, maybe there can be a tiered way of a smaller tier than if we got this done and now you're coming back and you're adding building. No, I'm sorry, that is a full price because you're coming back after we've closed this whole process. But if it's all coming in at once, maybe they can have it. Your main one's this. Additional structures are this or something like that to cover the cost of additional buildings, but not to the full extent of, gosh, if I just attach that, it's one building and I'm paying this.
we can do that, Commissioner. I think we'd have to figure out how we would get around the reality that many people would build the garage and never build the house then.
So I think we still have that. We still have that in our code that if you build the garage and you're going to be, if you're going to build the garage, you got your materials and stuff in there, and you've got a little corner thing where you and your wife, because I've seen, I have seen it over and over and over out in the countryside in rural America, mm-hmm. where you go out to work on the guy's house and you bang on the garage door and you look in there and they've got a couch in there and they got a flat screen TV and they're basically living in there. Oh, well. You know,
my dad's going to have a music studio when he retires, so I mean, that's going to be worse.
I'm just looking at it from that standpoint. They're going to do it anyway.
So Steve Miller's
place. So, but you know, we assume that people are going to do things right. But, you know, I'm not going to go call, get to a phone where, you know, they're living in that garage. You know, they're building their house.
Right.
But as you said yesterday, as long as they can have their garage or their shop or whatever it is, as long as you see that they are going to truly build that house.
Right.
That they're not just going to go live in the garage for the rest of their life. And I don't know, you may find some point in time where the guy goes, you know what? My wife got cancer and it wiped me out. All the money I was going to put into that house, I can't now, and I do have to live in the garage. I mean, it is what ifs all over this land.
And then we just have...
I just want to make it... I want to see if we can get it to where, you know, it's more fair, where it's not $375. Well, there you got to put that shop out there. There's another $375. But that shop is just basically four walls and a slab and a roof. That it's another $375 because it's going to take as much time to process that as it is the whole house with plumbing, electrical, heating and air conditioning, kitchen appliances, and the whole Marianne, when this is just a shop. Maybe it should be a graduated scale at a shop with no plumbing in it is $125, a shop with plumbing in it, $175, or something of that sort.
Well,
maybe that should be a cafeteria plan type thing.
When it comes to to building safety permits, it is that way because Mark has to charge based on fixtures and all that other stuff. So
I get that.
That is.
But maybe it should be the same thing for planning. Maybe planning should have the same thing because it's not, I mean, the big thing here, I think, in the planning is your erosion plan, so on, so on, so on. Those are the biggies, your drive, your encroachment permits and all that. Does it meet?
And you would be shocked how many complaints we've gotten in the last couple of years of people's developments that have caused runoff onto neighboring properties or flat-out bulldozing over streams and creeks.
And we do all of this for the construction industry that's perfectly legitimate. But how many complaints do we get of the marijuana, the grower that bought 5 acres and got in there with an 8 and bulldozed it all off? Mm-hmm. I can't cut a tree on my property without a permit.
Yeah.
And this guy goes through with a bulldozer and knocks everything over. He pushes it all onto his neighbor's yard, causing a fire hazard, erosion, runoff, and ruins the guy's well full of sediment. And we do nothing. Why? Because, are we afraid of the marijuana grower? Is that what it is? So there's a lot of inconsistencies that are not just in your department. Their main department is their department, which is you that walks in. Because that guy with the bulldozer and the 5 acres, he's not coming in to see you.
Right.
Well, if I may say, we've worked hard on the enforcement side of, mm-hmm. you know, to
for as much as
equal,
we can.
To make an equal playing field.
Because for as much as we can. But I think we want to build on what you brought in today. And I also want to set a time frame that we can call you back in and let you know what we've decided and see that it helps.
Thank
we
you.
Also want to know that...
maybe it's something you'd want to be a part of discussion. Or maybe there's other folks that would be able to be... You know, we talk about citizen review boards. Maybe we have a contractor's advisory board that's different than planning in that capacity that can maybe be...
I think
feedback from people that are affected by some of the regulations.
I'm happy to be involved.
We've got your card, and as you go through this thing, just say, Mr. Dant, would you come in and take a look at what we're working on right now, see how that works for us? Would you be glad to do that? There's one thing I don't want to do is because I've dealt with some contractors, Mr. Dent, just listening to him talk, he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
And I think if you say, I just want to have, you know, come on in, the door's wide open, and we want complaints from everybody.
I meant that if there's an opportunity for a couple folks to weigh in on, hey, this may be something you guys consider, or we're looking at these amendments, is there some contractors we can run them by and say, how would this affect you guys? And and just kind of a sounding board to get boots on the ground feedback of how's this practically going to affect, and just for the consideration of, one, it helps the communication. It helps the fear go down as far as that retaliate, you know, that open door policy that, gosh, I tell you, I want to build Josephine County. Not only do they go out of their way to do this and that, but when they're looking at improving something, they're asking us how it's impacting. We get to be a part of that. And to me, that's a great outcome.
To me, I want to look back, and Commissioner Morgan and I are both on the same flight pattern. We're going to be here for another 2.5 years. I want to look at this at the end of our next 2.5 years, and I want to hear from the Mr. Dents and from the EMI Constructions or whoever in this world that, man, this thing really turned around. You know, Julie, Benny, what, you've been going on three years?
I'm over for two, almost 2.5.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that has changed since you've been here.
We've made a lot of movement. We've moved that needle quite a ways just in the fact time that you guys have been here. And are made aware of the problem, but they also need to have this department needs to have the backup of the Board of County Commissioners. That's why I'm glad we had a quorum here today and was noticed and everything's fine, because without our support, they're out there just if that's all they get, the bad feedback from us and the you know what I mean, you get that every time, you're going to really not, you don't want to be part of the correction. And I've had nothing but positive feedback out of these two when it comes to that. You know, we sit down and talk about it, and that last batch of codes that we just did yesterday, that ordinance that we put together yesterday was a culmination of when I was in her office, and there was three of us in there just brainstorming about this driveway thing. You know, how many lots you can put on a driveway and so on and so forth. Well, guess what? It's now in our code, and it's happening. So I want to get out of this thing in 2 years with the idea that when people say, you know what, they really did change that, and it looks like it's a heck of a lot better now, but it requires input from you in the field, because you're the one that has to say, this didn't work for me.
And you know what, we do send our amendments. We did send to the Builders Association. We didn't get any comments back from them.
Yeah.
I don't always know the Builders Association gets it out to all their builders.
The Josephine County one has gone south.
I was going to join it, but then there was no one left.
Army
Which
of
was
one.
Very disappointing.
Might I inquire as to the driveway deal? Because we
go. No.
Okay, because we have one.
You have to wait 90 days.
Okay.
They could explain it to you.
We had 42 pages of amendments yesterday. Oh, so.
What I want to do going forward is I want to put some kind of time commitment so you know how we're working on this thing. This is a busy time of year for everybody involved in construction and in your offices. It will slow down, I'm going to assume, as we go into winter, because there'll be less people applying for, or does it pick up? They want to get all their permits and stuff done during the winter
rush.
We see a big rush, and then after Thanksgiving, things kind of trickle down while people.
Well, I can give some updates right now. You know, as far as the concern about picking it up, the online permitting process does help with that, where you don't have to come in to pick up a permit. But we still have that option. If you don't want to go online, you can still do the other process. So we have that.
Okay. Well, I just don't want this thing to. I don't want to be in here 6 months saying, "No, well, nothing happened. I just haven't had a chance to get around to it."
I think the only thing we didn't address is the fees, which we just changed 2 years ago. We compared them to the other counties, but we can address them again for this coming year.
Well, like I said,
most builders tell us they don't have a problem with the fees, but we can survey them.
Okay. And well, we'd be looking at around December for a January 1st change, generally with those, or is it November?
November.
So as far as time frame for fees adjustments, they generally happen in November for January.
Well, I think most builders, I think Valerian Homes is a little bit different. And if the commissioners don't know the story, is that...
I actually don't know anything about the company.
Okay, well... Valerian Homes was started at the bottom of the downturn 10 years ago this New Year's Eve, when Dan and Cliff Woodruff called up Bill Thorpe, who was a silent partner in WTW, and said, we're letting the subdivisions go back to the bank, and we're going banco, and you can do what you want. And the Thorpe family, Bill's ethic and his other business interests wouldn't allow him to do that. So this is the first year, 2018, since the company's been in business that will make money. He took on a seven-figure debt that he's paying for to make sure that those two banks didn't take it in the shorts. So we were building homes at 5 and 10% under cost to move the property to make sure that those banks. So,
unlike a bunch of other contractors that I've known in my 55 years in building, 60 years in building, I've known of a contractor that bankrupted a bunch of banks and went bankrupt three times and is still here. And can walk in over next door, and they will trip over each other to get something through their planning department so this guy can go build a house. And I'll tell you the story one of these days. Because it made
I know
I'm
the name,
mad.
So I'll just say, I'll keep my mouth shut.
I am still mad about a piece of property down on M Street.
But the $300, I mean, maybe most contractors feel like they're going to pass it on, and ultimately maybe we do. But it still drives up the cost of building a house.
The more you drive up the cost, the less buying public you have.
Correct.
It's just like when they say, well, you know, it's only $3,000 here or $4,000 there. But you pick all those together. Now I've got my whole kitchen full of appliances.
Right.
Well, it's $10,000. Well, there's my whole kitchen full of appliances.
Well, these erosion control and fire safety plans run us between $3,500 and $4,000 mm-hmm. to produce. I mean, that's before we ever walk in to the office. And that's a fact of life. You got to send the surveyor out to do the topo work. And he does, and we don't, in a cost-saving measure, we don't do a separate plot plan. When you look at the demands of what was a site plan pre-application or the tech plan review, you still got to have all of this information. So we'd like to be able to start the topo work, but you can't until you have a footprint of the house.
Yeah.
So you have to, you really have to wait until everything is ready to go. He does his work. It's a month. If he doesn't get sick or there isn't a fire, and then the civil engineer is 3 weeks to a month, and that's not a complaint. It's just an ism, you know. But there's $3,500 to $4,000 before we ever get
started.
Sometimes
I view those things as the $3,500 to $4,000
as an insurance policy.
Oh yeah. When something goes haywire,
right?
Like we have out, it went south. We've got pictures of it. Well,
yeah,
what happened? That guy would have had a topo plan. That wouldn't have ever happened. So, but when you say, "Yeah, I went through the whole pipe, here it is right there," okay. And
so, is there anything unresolved?
No, other than
we'll try some follow up by November. Looking at the fee schedule,
the hearing is in November all the time.
Yep.
We did. When we looked at it 2 years ago, we did drop our fees. So we have to see how much lower we can go. I mean, we were giving credits on pre-apps and dropped.
Well, and I'm not.
Dropped a lot of fees.
I want to. We do have to cover our costs.
Yeah.
And that is something we do have to mm-hmm. do. But it potentially, if it's in one application, if there's a tiered potential of what they are or different things cost, I don't know the right answer yet. And that's maybe where we can get feedback from industry and stuff like that. But we've put a lot of pressure on you to cover your costs, and so that still has to happen. So it may be that we look at it and say, you know, we're already at this cost because of this. Maybe this one needs to be, I don't know. If it's all together, it's 500, and if it's separate, it's 350 and 150, you know, or something like that. I don't know, but at least we can look into making sure we're constantly evaluating where we're at.
I think the main thing at the end of the day for contractors too is to make sure that when they give a price to the homeowner, to the actual buyer, said, yeah, we are going to build this house for you, and we're going to build it for $262,000. And they go, great, we'll sign the contract. That is cast in stone. Now you go back and tell him, oh, by the way, to move that old mobile home off there is another $4,500 permit, and oh, it has a title fee on it, because you got to do the title fee. That's another $600. Boy, you just keep adding that stuff on. He can't recover that. can't recover it, can't go back to the homeowner and say, I need to amend your contract because I got an, oh, by the way. That's the key. So everything we do needs to be up front for that contractor before he goes to the homeowner, the actual customer, says, I'm going to do that house for $262,000.
That was one of the biggest complaints. Absolutely. When we came on board. And that's why we're training them to tell them everything up front.
Yes.
So. You know, my experience as a builder, I had more clients look me in the eye and say, and what if you come back for more money? Mm-hmm. Across the board. Mm-hmm. I always stay with my price. How many people were burned at some point. Saying the contractors were wrong in going back.
Yeah. I had it in the heating and air conditioning business. Some people said, aren't you going to look in the attic? I said, yes, I am. But there was a lot of times I said, you know, I really don't have time to look up there, but I think I know what's there. Mm-hmm. Just in the general construction of your home, I know it's a stick frame attic, not trusses. I know there's a big place up there to put this thing.
I'm trying to think of what mine's called, because it's all open in the middle.
Yeah, it's stick frame.
Is that, because it's just the back on the edges of it. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. A lot of room up there.
If I was going to poke a hole through that wall and all of a sudden I find out that was a concrete wall, brother, that's yours. That's your, well, if I'd known this was concrete, why didn't you know? If you're any good at it, you would have known. So, that's, construction's a hairy game. But I, especially, kudos to, hats off to Valerian Holmes and, is that Bill Thorpe?
That's true.
Yeah, well, and he's a stand-up guy.
Sarah owns the company, and Jason Thorpe is the RMI. Mm-hmm.
I don't know Jason, but I know Bill and Sarah.
Yeah. And those are, that's stand-up kind of people. I know there was once two CPAs told me to declare bankruptcy.
Yep.
And I'm not going to do that. Right. I don't remember Bob Repine. I don't know if you do.
Representative Bob.
And I did a lot of work for Bob Repine when I first started my company. And I told him, I said, all I want from you, Bob, is to make sure I get paid. I hand you a bill, you pay me. Yep. That's all I want. And he was in, I guess John McGowan was another one on that deal down there on East Park. And one thing about it, stuck around and paid everybody. Mm-hmm. Bob Repine ended up paying everybody. He was driving an old beat-up truck for a number of years and working, swinging a hammer Saturday and Sunday himself in order to pay everybody back. And I've done the exact same thing.
We as a company don't expect any favoritism or good old boy nepotistic type of stuff. Because of what Bill did, what Bill and Sarah committed to. But it's just, I mean, if I go all the way back to when I started, and Bill came and got me I started doing water rights work for the city of Corvallis back in the early 90s, and a land use planning background in terms of practical application. And that's why he came to get me to set up the office and work with the agencies. And so there's been, up until the last 2.5 years, there's been a fairly constant shift in planning personnel at the top end and different policies, et cetera. So, I laid my complaints out. I appreciate everybody listening to them, and I appreciate the opportunity to have some input into them. If there's a restructuring of the development permit fee process, I don't have a problem with $400 for a tech plan if it costs $450. I was fairly annoyed 5 or 6 years ago when all of a sudden we had to write a $50 special check to Public Works to look at the erosion control plan. We come in to get our pre-application, we need another $50 because they're not getting their chunk over at Public Works. What?
Well, this county was extremely hard hit. And it was so dependent on timber dollars, never thought the well would ever dry up, and when it did, it dried up quick.
Yep.
And so therefore, I got my hat goes off to door number 3 down there, because he went through the whole process. We're on a building process now, but we want to build for the future, and we want to build for stability. We don't want to be part of the next downturn and crash. We don't want to be part of that Josephine County anymore.
Yeah.
But we're working on a whole bunch of different things that are, and some of them are going to be popular, some of them are going to be very unpopular, but we don't want to go back.
No.
Other parts of Oregon right now are starting into what we're coming out of, and they're not happy about.
Well, I have a good friend that's now retired about 10 years, but he was the natural resources staff officer on the Siskiyou for 17 years. And is a soil hydrologist guy, did his master's work at Syracuse, but Humboldt State guy. And if it means anything to you in terms of stream management, he was in the same class as Rosgen, which is the father of riparian and stream management stuff. And he's while he was working on the forest plan, sit at his kitchen table out on 238, and he'd say, "Well, what value do you want to manage for?" And the Forest Service couldn't get its head around, still can't get its head around, and the Enviros can't get their heads around the fact that if you want some level of sustainability and you want some level of an account for the human piece of all of this, you can't just lock up 80% of the cut base in late-stage sterile reserve for the spotted owl and have the plan fail. And now we have this.
35 years later.
You won't hear us argue.
35 years later, that didn't work. So, with that, we're going to close it off at 3:50 if there isn't any more comments for the record. Okay, we will get back with you, Mr. Dent. That's for sure. That's our commitment.
Appreciate it, commissioners.
Thank you. We're closed at 3:50.